Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Trust for America's Health is a nonpartisan public health organization, and joining me now is Rhea Farberman, Director of Strategic Communications and Policy Research at Trust for America's Health. And we're going to be talking about a new report that rates each state's disaster preparedness and how well each state is prepared for a natural disaster. So thank you very much for joining me today, Rhea. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
First of all, tell us a little bit about Trust for America's Health. What is the purpose of the organization?
Sure thing. Trust for America's Health is a nonprofit, nonpartisan public health policy organization. We strive to advance the research and the policies that are going to make all Americans healthier.
This new report that was just released scores states on 10 indicators of high priority emergency preparedness measures. Tell us about the report in general, and then we'll get into some of the specific details later.
Sure thing. This is a report that we do annually. We've done it every year since 2003, and it's an annual assessment of states' level of preparedness to protect the public health during an emergency. So important always, and particularly important right now with the emerging coronavirus, we rank states on 10 health security performance indicators, and then we tier them into three categories: high performance, middle performance, and low performance. 25 states and the District of Columbia landed in the high performance tier this year. That's up from 17, so we're making progress at a national level. That's a good thing. Also have 25 states that are in the middle or the low performance tier. Now, that doesn't indicate that they are unprepared for an emergency, but it indicates that they have both strengths and weaknesses, and there's some room for improvement.
Now, what steps can be taken to decrease some of these risks and some of these risk factors?
Well, California is in the middle tier this year and was also in the middle tier in 2019. So let me talk about some strengths that California has and some areas that could use improvement. Some strengths first. Funding for public health programming was up 10% in the states, and that's very good to see. It's very important as the threats to the public health increase. That funding has to increase as well, and it certainly has to keep pace with inflation and grow. So that's good to see that increase. 35% of hospitals in the state received an A grade for patient safety within the facility. That's good. The national average is 30%. And paid time off in the state is important as well. You might ask, why? What does paid time off have to do with emergency preparation? But research shows that if an employee has access to paid time off, they are much more likely to stay at home when they're ill. And that's important because it helps prevent the spread of infectious disease into the workplace and into the broader community. So access to paid time off is important. 56% of people employed in California have access to paid time off. That's slightly better than the national average. Some areas that could use improvement. The seasonal flu vaccination rate for people living in California, 47% of Californians get their seasonal flu vaccination. The national average is 49%. The state could do a little bit better. But as a nation, we can do better. Healthy People 2020 set as a goal to have 70% of all Americans vaccinated for the seasonal flu. As a nation, we're only at 50%. So we all have work to do in that category. Another thing that I would call attention to is that 70% of the state's hospitals are in healthcare coalitions. The national average there is 89%. What a healthcare coalition allows a hospital facility to do is ramp up its resources in a time of an emergency. If there's an event in a particular community, the local resources might get stretched thin, they might need more doctors or more nurses or more epidemiologists. And these compacts and coalitions allow them to borrow that kind of personnel from a neighboring community or a neighboring state and surge their capacity for a few weeks. Now, California is a large state, and it may feel that it has internally, can borrow from community to community and cover those needs, but most states do like to be in these multi-state coalitions.
Okay, does the report have any recommendations for improving preparedness and response to infectious disease outbreaks, also natural disasters and other public health emergencies?
Yeah, the report is really meant to be a checklist for local public health officials and for policymakers at both the local, state, and federal level to see how a particular jurisdiction is doing as compared to its neighbors, how it's doing year over year, and what action steps it should take to improve its state of readiness. As I said, offering things like paid time off improves the state of readiness. Making sure that more citizens, more residents get their flu vaccine improves the state of readiness. Being accredited for both your public health program and your emergency response program helps you the level of readiness. Making sure that all residents have access to a water system that is safe and meets all EPA standards is an important readiness measure as well.
Now, what about communities that currently experience a disproportionate impact during an emergency situation? How can we mitigate risks for those communities?
Yeah, it's a very important question because the data does show that certain communities are at greater risk for harm during an emergency than others. Those include the elderly, very young people, people who are from lower economic backgrounds and live in lower social economic communities, people who are less English proficient. So they are at heightened risk. So when a community is planning its emergency response well before an event, it has to take into consideration what might be the unique needs of these population groups and make sure that everyone is safe during an emergency, regardless of their age or their gender or their social economic status.
Now, you mentioned some of the California figures earlier, but do you have any other specific details on how well California and how well we rate in emergency preparedness?
Well, California is in the middle tier, and there are 12 states in the middle tier. So you're right in the middle of the pack. So there's room for improvement, but there's also some real strength that we discussed. So I would say if California wanted to move up into the high performance tier, they can look at their scores on these 10 individual indicators, and just a few action steps could bump up the state into the high performance tier.
Okay, as far as budget cuts go, what kind of impact do budget cuts have on the federal, state, and local level? How do they affect preparedness?
Well, it's a great question and a serious issue. Public health funding in this country is chronically underfunded, and that's been going on for decades. And most public health funding from the federal government is through the CDC, and that winds its way down to the states. So when the federal budget is cut and the federal budget doesn't keep up with needs, that has a trickle-down effect to state budgets. So just investing more in public health infrastructure is critical. And again, a situation like coronavirus, if it was to become more serious here in the U.S., that's an example of why we need a standing-ready system to be able to respond. Our recommendation to Congress is that Congress right now put aside more dollars in the Public Health Rapid Response Fund so they could, that those dollars can be tapped very quickly if the coronavirus was to become a more serious issue. One thing you have to guard against is any kind of delay in response because dollars aren't readily available. Any kind of delays in an emergency response can really lead to more harm, more risk of injury, more risk of illness.
Speaking of the coronavirus, how does that test our national public health readiness?
Well, it will test our readiness as a nation to monitor a situation and respond to a situation. So far, the CDC seems to really be on top of it. The CDC certainly has the expertise and has the experience to monitor the situation, and surveillance is very, very important, and data analysis and data sharing. So right now we're on top of it, but the worry point is if the virus becomes more serious and begins to spread here in the U.S., does the local public health department, does the local hospital, does the state officials, and does the federal government have the funding and the resources available to, without a hitch, respond and put resources and dollars immediately to work where they're needed.
Now, with all the information that's available in this report, what would you say is the most important point?
Well, it's investing in public health. What you don't want to get into the situation of is only paying attention to public health when public health is threatened. When there's an emergency, we tend to really pay attention and we ask good questions about our state of readiness. But we have to do that all the time. Emergencies are going to happen, and if you are ready for them, if you have planned for them, if you have sufficient funding quickly available to deal with them, then you can reduce harm. So we have to pay attention to public health all the time, not just during an emergency.
Now, if someone wanted to read this report, is there a place, a website that will be made available?
Yes, the report is available now on our website, which is TFAH.org, TFAH.org.
I give that website once again.
TFAH.org, TFAH.org.
Rhea Farberman, Director of Strategic Communications and Policy Research at Trust for America's Health, a nonpartisan public health organization. And we've been talking about California's preparedness and response to infectious disease outbreaks, natural disasters, and other public health emergencies. So thank you once again for joining me today, Rhea. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.